Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hi, this is Mike Delp with the Relax Back UK show on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. On the Relax Back UK show, we explore all kinds of health topics, so keep listening and enjoy the ride.
Hello, and thank you for joining me, Mike Dilk, on the Relax Back UK show. In previous shows, I've been lucky enough to have spoken to cancer research scientists from the City of London Major Centre, which brings scientists together from the Barts Cancer Institute at QMUL, University College London Cancer Centre, King's College Cancer Centre, and the Francis Crick Institute. So this really is getting the big brains all together onto the problem. One aspect being looked at the moment is using the immune system that we have to fight off cancer. Now, the immune system can be referred to as our soldier cells.
And in the analogy of the army, you can imagine if you have a battalion that is, you can have a ninja type battalion that's very quietly and destroys your enemy, right? And you can have a nuclear driven battalion that really makes some big destruction. You have different ways of trying to control each one of those, because what you want usually, you want the ninjas, right? You want not to even feel the viral infecting you.
Professor Sergio Quezada of UCL explains more about the immune system, but then tells us how it can be used to fight cancer.
So people have been mobilizing or trying to move the immune system against cancer for decades. And I would say that the first demonstrations that the immune system could be mobilized against cancer come from early 1900s.
So this apparently is kind of an old idea, but in recent decades, real progress has been made. Professor Quezada is joined by Dr. Maria Villa and patient Dave Chatter to talk about the technique now, how it's working now, and where it might lead to in the future. So please do stay with me for a fabulously interesting show. Thank you.
The station that makes you feel good.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Stephen at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Stephen.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
The last 2 to 3 years have seen lots of people talking about the immune system, particularly in relation to COVID. And I have to say, a lot of the talk has really worried me. In fact, I just Googled boost your immune system naturally and I got 21 million hits. And I think a lot of these, well, all of them really, are selling supplements. And it really does seem to be preying on people's concerns, started off with COVID, but concerns about being unwell, to make some cash, to make some money. And I've got to say that it really does upset me a little bit. I've spoken to experts on the show about what you can do to help your immune system help you. And generally, they say you have to do everything in moderation. You've got to exercise a little bit, make sure you get enough sleep, and try and make sure you have a balanced diet. Essentially, just live as healthy and balanced lifestyle as you can. Anyway, all that to one side, let's bring on the guests to talk about how the immune system can be used to help fight cancer. Now, I usually ask the sort of the difficult and unfair questions, if there are any, at the end of the chat with guests. But in this particular case, I kind of started with them, really.
I usually wait for the end of the chat for the unfair question, but I'm gonna ask like the unfair questions at the start, because we've heard an awful lot about the immune system recently due to COVID, you know, and everyone now has heard of the immune system a lot recently. But I was wondering if, to start off with, you can just summarize, if that's possible, because I know it's quite or very complicated, kind of what it is and what it does. Is that even possible, Sergio?
Yeah, of course. But you mean, sorry, just to be clear on the answer to be given, what is the immune system in the context of cancer, or can
well, both really. You can start off with in the context of human beings, but then narrow down to cancer as well. Yeah, that would work very well, Sergio.
Yeah. So all right. So in terms of summary, what is the immune system? It's a little army, or actually, I would say a large army with many battalions. Each battalion has a different function, but as an army, the whole and only goal of that army is to protect you against insult. And insult, the primary insult is viruses. So the immune system has evolved to really protect you against infectious diseases primarily. And also, I think, which is very important in the context of COVID, right? And in the analogy of the army, you can imagine if you have a battalion that is, you can have a ninja type battalion that's very quietly and destroys your enemy, right? And you can have a nuclear driven battalion that really makes some big destruction. You have different ways of trying to control each one of those, because what you want usually, you want the ninjas, right? You want not to even feel the viral infecting you. You want,
yeah,
viral comes in, ninja battalion goes in, destruction, full silent, you carry on with your life. Sometimes the nuclear battalion gets triggered and you get diseases associated, which are related to immune inflammation and tissue destruction that can lead to death. And that's basically what you see in the severe cases of COVID. So that's kind of in a nutshell how I would say what is the immune system and how it acts. And within each one of those battalions, there are different cellular subsets, and we can get more complicated there. But each one of them has a function and a role. And each one of them can go either very lazy or can go out of control.
I do like the idea of having the ninjas on my side, secretly destroying whatever's bad. So that's kind of
in general. And so, and the idea of using the immune system to attack cancers, that might be a bit of a surprise to listeners. Is that a relatively new thing?
Well, if 150 years is relatively new, yes. So people have been mobilizing or trying to move the immune system against cancer for decades. And I would say that the first demonstrations that the immune system could be mobilized against cancer come from early 1900s. So it's not new in concept. The success is new due to the newer developments, which are still quite old, right? So the success, today's success of immunotherapy comes from a large clinical trial that is a test on patients that was revealed in 2011. But the drug used on those trials that took a couple of years to be done and completed was invented in the mid-90s, right? So it takes decades to go from concept to clinic to then commercialization, meaning getting this drug to thousands and thousands of patients.
Sure. So actually, Sergio, I must admit, I did a little bit of research on you before our chat, and you come from a very eminent background, and you actually work with someone who's won a Nobel Prize for this kind of work. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I was lucky enough to work with Jim Allison.
And so was that a while ago? Does that show how long this stuff can take? You look like a young man to me, Sergio. It can't have been that long ago.
Thank you for that. No, it was I worked with Jim and I started working with Jim in 2004. So, yeah, 2 decades ago, if I count it right. Yeah, almost 2 decades ago. So a long time ago. So Jim is the guy that in the mid-90s, yeah, he proposed an hypothesis, and that's why he got the Nobel Prize primarily. He thought that, as I was describing, right, you have this different battalions trying to attack different insults that you might get. What he proposed is that there were specific signals or rules or cues that you can give to the battalion to shut it down. And he called those checkpoints, right? So you can put a checkpoint in front of your battalion and say, do not attack. And those checkpoints are there because, as I was saying, right, the immune system can be very dangerous. You can overactivate it and then you can get tissue destruction. So those checkpoints, which are proteins on the surface of cells, are there, and they're multiple. They are there to really avoid self-destruction, self-injury. So his hypothesis, he was working on a specific checkpoint named CTLA-4. And his specific hypothesis was that if we were to develop drugs that will block or alterate the function of that checkpoint, so a checkpoint blocker, he could unleash the immune response against tumors.
Okay.
And that led to a series of experiments in animal models and then experiments in clinical trials in human, well, development of a human drug and then the clinical trial. And then that was the first immune checkpoint blocker described. And that was one of the first drugs, immunotherapy drugs, that demonstrated tremendous efficacy against skin cancer. And after that one, many came, right? So, I think in a period of 5 to 10 years after all the works of CTLA-4, the discovery, the understanding, the clinical trials, came another drug called PD-1, which is another checkpoint inhibitor. And that drug now combined with anti-CTLA-4, they really promote very, very durable responses in a large fraction of patients with skin cancer. So skin cancer is one of the diseases that was barely responding to chemotherapy, so the classical agents, by if you were unlucky enough to be diagnosed with late-stage metastatic skin cancer, your chances of being alive 2 years after diagnosis were less than 10%. And now, today, more than half of the patients with skin cancer are long-term survivors.
So this technology is being used in patients and it's working.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. It works. And what's beautiful about it, right? is that you're not treating the cancer, you're treating your immune system. So the concept, and if you take back to Jim's concept, look, there are checkpoints and you should be blocking those checkpoints because then you can activate the immune response. That should apply to every cancer, but obviously it would apply differently. But the fact that the first trials started to work, it opens Pandora's box now of research in this field. So it doesn't mean that this particular drugs will work for every single cancer, but what it means is that now there is a lot of interest on understanding how is the immune system regulated, right? What shuts down immune response? What shuts down the function of my battalions against lung cancer, brain cancer, etc.? Oh. And each battalion will be regulated in a different manner, right? So that's immunotherapy. Immunotherapy is not a single drug; it's a concept.
Yeah. So Sergio, let me bring it in, Maria. So Maria, you work with Sergio.
Yes. And so for too long now.
For too long. Oh, don't say that.
We have fun.
What I'm sitting here thinking as a non-scientist. So you're saying that this kind of approach works better with some cancers and not others. So do the cancers that it works with, you know, what do they have in common? Or this is, again, this might be another impossible question, but why does it work with some cancers, not others?
That's a very difficult question. But I think one of the main things is following on Sergio's kind of army thing is that the troops have to be there in the first place. So you have some tumors where you just don't have the immune cells or enough immune cells in them. So trying to activate them isn't going to do much. You're not going to, if you don't have the troops, you're not able to form an attack. So that's one of the things that people look into. And now there's kind of lots of studies going on about how you can get the immune system to infiltrate the tumor. And then once they're there, then you can activate them with all the drugs that Sergio was talking about. But that's one of the main things that I think people talk about nowadays. Sergio, you might be more up to date with the, you know, literature than I am.
But that's absolutely correct. You need the troops in there. If they're not in there, it doesn't matter that you release the brakes on the troop, right? Now, that's for the current drugs. There are other drugs that can make your troops go in, right? And they are being investigated. And there are other therapies, immunotherapies, that actually make the troops outside the patient and then give them to the patient. So if you don't have enough troops, I'm going to make a stake of troops, give it to the patient, and then they should be doing the job. So you see, that's why I know that it's very important that people understand what immunotherapies are in general, but immunotherapy is not one drug. It's a whole myriad of approaches because they will target different stages of the functionality of the different troops, where they are, the tumor, etc.
Let's just pick up on something you mentioned there, because I tried to do a little bit of reading around what you do, and I hit upon this idea of training the troops. You remove the troops from the body and you train them, or you get them ready to go back and fight the tumor. So can you put some meat on the bones of that kind of description? If you take out something from the body, the immune cells, What do you do to them to make them more ready, better to fight the tumor when they go back in?
If you think about it in the simplest way, right? So you might have a tumor, you might have a troop that has been fighting the tumor, and actually that's what keeping the tumor under pseudo control. So slow progressing tumor, most likely because you have lots of those cells or a few of those cells inside the tumor. But they're obviously not doing enough of a job to destroy that insult, right? So then one of the therapies, and that's one of the therapies that I work on my other hand, with my other hand, we set up a biotech company that works on this, is that you take the tumor of a patient and then you remove the troops. Let's say you have a few, they're tired, they're exhausted, there are very few of them, but they're still trying to put a battle. They definitely know what tumor looks like. You take them out and you feed them, right? You nurture them. You give them growth factors and cytokines and funny immunological based names. Basically, you're feeding them, making them stronger, and increasing their numbers. So now you go
take them out from blood. They're in people's blood.
So usually we take them from the tumor because that's where it's easy to find them, right? They're going to be where the battle is. Now, you can find them in transit, right? Of course, they're going to be circulating from one tumor to another. So you can find them in transit, i.e. in the blood, but it's harder, right? You can, but it's harder. So the low-hanging fruit is to get them from where the battle is, and then you grow them in large numbers. But people are trying also to get them from blood, and I think eventually we will see that functioning. But that's the idea. You just grow them to large numbers. You win by numbers if we can simplify things, right? So, and then you grow them to large numbers, and then you infuse them back into the patient and hope that they go into the tumor, and now they really hammer it without mercy.
Yeah. And so is this method being used with patients now?
I'm sorry?
Is this particular method where you take the immune cells out of the body, feed them up, train them up, and put them back in? Is that being used now?
Yes. Patients? So that, going back to timeline, so the first clinical trial was in the mid-80s, and it was an academic trial. And there are many companies now that are trying to build up the equivalent data set so they can go and give this therapy, commercialize this therapy, and give it to thousands of patients. The problem is that these therapies are not as simple as making an antibody, right? It's a personalized therapy. You need to grow immune cells out of the body of a patient. But that's right. Engineering, right? That's why we have engineering. So that problem will be fixed. The concept is that, yes, you can grow large numbers of cells. You can infuse them back, and they do work.
So
and the cool thing about that is that if you take these cells out of the individual patient, it goes back into the same patient, and they already know what cancer you're responding to there. It's that personalized medicine thing is so cool. It's got so many potentials. It removes a lot of those issues that you have, say, with chemotherapy, where you're very destructive because it's targeted. It's that same individual. There's a lot of potential. It's really cool stuff that people are doing, I think.
It sounds. So at this point, yeah, Dave, you've been very quiet. You haven't been able to get a word in edgeways. So
I haven't yet, no. One of the things is with immunotherapy, the age of a person, the fitness of a person, the health of a person, how does that affect the immunotherapy system working? Can it be different can there be a big difference between somebody in their 20s, 30s compared to somebody in their 70s, 80s?
Absolutely, Dave. That's a tremendous question. So in general terms, right, your immune system ages our immune system ages with us, right? As we age, the immune system ages and it gets weakened. That's why quality of life is very important, because as you remain healthy and active, your immune system does actually remain healthy and active. So that's very important. Now, that's for your underlying immune system. When it comes to delivering immunotherapies, that's also very important. For example, treating patients with lung cancer, which are usually heavy smokers, later ages, quite frail, is difficult because the immunotherapy, again, remember, right? So you're releasing the brakes on your army, you will get side effects. So the weaker you are, the frailer you are, the more side effects you will get. So age does have an impact. And as you said, fitness of the patient has a significant impact in the steady state ability of your immune system to control insult, but also on your ability to be treated with immunotherapies and with chemotherapies as well.
Yep. So, and also everybody is different. So it's going to be personalized. When you take out and then put back in, it's kind of personalized to that person, isn't it? There's not one immunotherapy fits all.
So today, the immunotherapies that are these checkpoint blockers, they are not personalized. Let's call it generic activators. That doesn't mean that it's going to work in every cancer, because it will depend what activator you're using. On the cellular therapy side, which is take the cells out and grow them to a large number and then transfer in, the vast majority of them are personalized. But there is a huge effort in trying to make them global. And again, it's a matter of time and technology. So I think we will get there. But today, the vast majority of them are personal.
That's good news if we can get there.
Yeah. We will. I'm sure we will get there. You know, the field is moving at such a large speed, and we are getting more and more interaction between different fields, especially engineering, genetic modification. Those are really significantly impacting stem cell work. They significantly impact the development of these non-personalized therapeutics.
Sergio, let me ask a question. It kind of follows on a little bit from Dave's. If you take out your immune cells and you train them up, make them a little bit more vigorous, put them back. You alluded to a problem. You know, if your immune system gets too active, that, you know, that can cause real problems as well. So is there a problem you might make these immune cells too aggressive and too efficient and kind of shut down other things that you know, is that a concern? And do you have to think about not doing that?
Yes. I think that is always a concern from the bench side to the bedside. We always consider that as a very important feature of your therapy. So what you want is for your immunotherapy to be as specific as possible to the tumor to avoid these side effects. And I would say that if you think about the checkpoint inhibitors, right? So this first class, the ones that just release the brakes on your army, they are not very specific because it's releasing on all the army. The cellular therapies can be very specific. So you can train or select the T cells or the battalion that is absolutely specific for your tumor. So you can do that, right? It's not easy, but that you can do that. And that's where these cellular therapies, that's the direction of travel of these cell therapies in general. They want to identify the best target on a tumor cell that is only and solely on the tumor cell, and actually not in one tumor cell, but in every single tumor cell in your body, because your tumor cells will change with time. So it is doable. It is a concern, and it's addressable.
Yeah. Look, fantastic. Very, very interesting. Now, earlier on in our chat, you mentioned a company that you've made, okay, Achilles. Now, what does that do? And a follow-up question, really. Does companies like this, do they speed up of actually the process of getting treatment to patients? Because that, you know, that's the big objective here.
Let me start from the back. So, and this is my opinion, impact is not only about the speed of getting a drug into a patient, it's about the number of patients that you can treat with a drug, right? That's what I think. So you could be, if you think about it, in academia, which is absolutely essential, we can perhaps rapidly get to treat 10 patients with a new therapy. And that is really exciting. And full disclaimer, right? I'm a mouse doctor like Maria. We're not real doctors. We're scientists. We don't treat patients. So the only impact that we can make is through our basic science. So basic science could become a clinical trial academically led and have an impact in a number, even in 100 or more patients. But for that data, let's say that data is phenomenal. For that therapy to then reach, let's say lung cancer, 144,000 deaths between the US and Europe per year, 144,000. That you cannot do that academically. So that's where pharma and biotech become essential, right? To massify the drug. So that is the balance. And more and more, I think we need to try to find those two integrated and collaborating, because then you can benefit from the speed that you can get in academia, right? The ability to pivot, to improve, to change. And then the global nature that pharma has. And I think that's where the field is trying to go.
No, okay. No, that's a good question. That makes perfect sense. So last question for you, Dave, or another question for you, Dave. You were a patient. Did you have this kind of treatment? What sort of treatment did you have?
I had chemotherapy and then surgery. It was esophageal cancer. The only cure is the surgery. Anything else is goes into palliative care at the moment. Immunotherapy is starting to show in this cancer, but it's still not something which is shown to make a huge difference at the moment.
Right, but in the future, possibly, and this is a general question as well. If immunotherapy might even do away with the need for big operations to remove tumors, because, you know, having a big operation, if you're, you know, elderly, unwell anyway, or you're suffering from chemotherapy, having an operation is a big deal. So is it possible that in the future, and this is a question to all of you really, that this kind of approach will mean that there'll be much fewer operations?
I personally think it will, but it's still down to the getting diagnosed early enough to be able to use that treatment before surgery or anything else. It's catching it early. It's still awareness, public awareness. It's a big issue.
I can see the academics are nodding their heads in agreement there.
Well, Dave touches a very important point. So I think catching it or intercepting it earlier, preventing it, not ever getting it, right? So quality of life, that's the best prevention. Now, I wouldn't, definitely, I think that that's directional travel, and there is more and more interest by scientists and by funding agencies to support work in early intervention, early disease, early detection. Big efforts by big teams, by new teams. So I think it's a very important area. Now, on the just one little one on the surgery side, which is a great example, the best cure for skin cancer or melanoma is surgery. Yeah. If you pick it up early, right? So that's cheaper, it's faster, and if done properly, you basically remove a mole that is melanoma, but you catch right on time. You run scans to make sure that it's not disseminated in your body, and then you're cured. So we shouldn't disregard those. But problem is that that's an easy tumor to catch. Esophageal, much harder, right? So the symptoms come later. Pancreatic cancer, you only get symptoms when it's very, 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 very late. And in those cases, you ask yourself, well, you will have to have a very powerful immunotherapy to debulk the amount of tumor. And sometimes they can do that. Or you work on combination. So combination of chemotherapy and immunotherapy has demonstrated effective in some cancers. People are investigating radiotherapy and immunotherapy combinations. So there are multiple ways of getting there.
Okay. Sergio, here's a mad question. And for Maria as well, really, both of you. You talk about training up the immune system. How about we train it up before problems arrive? Get a vaccine for different sort of cancers with this sort of method. I mean, is that like just a bonkers idea, or is that, you know, I can see you're both smiling, going, "Oh, here the crazy guy goes again." But is that at all possible?
It's something that people have been trying to do for a long time, is my understanding.
I've never had a novel thought yet, so there's no reason why I should start now.
I think it's something people have tried and want to get to work, but my understanding is that it's limited by the nature of what cancer is, right? Cancer is a big umbrella term for so many different diseases that having a vaccine for a virus, I mean, and we've all seen this with COVID, we hear of new variants, viruses evolve quite quickly, but each cancer evolves differently and faster. So yes, you want to have a vaccine, like ideally that'd be amazing, right? Get a vaccine, you're protected. But the practical side of it, to my knowledge, has never really come about. Like, people have struggled to do it, but it's an idea that people have been working with for a very long time, I think.
Okay. All right. Well, as I said, I've not had a novel thought yet, so there's no reason.
No, it's not. It's not that. No. Those are very good questions. Just to add on quickly onto what Maria said, which is very true. You need to know the nature of cancer in order to predict, right, what your vaccine is going to be doing or what your vaccine needs to attack. Now, that has happened, right? The most amazing example is HPV vaccines. HPV vaccines are for cancers that are driven by a viral infection.
And my children have recently had that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So HPV vaccines are an example of what you're asking, and they work. So as long as we start learning what do the different type of cancers have in common when they arise, you could actually train your immune system against it. So, and HPV aren't the best example.
Okay. All right. So I think you, sorry, you were, did I interrupt you there, Maria?
No, I was saying I hadn't thought of that, then that's why he's the boss.
For now, exactly.
So, guys, this has been absolutely fascinating, I have to say, and it's opened my eyes to something which I knew nothing about, and I'm sure likewise to the people listening. But if listeners I've heard this and think, you know, this is absolutely fascinating, and I would like to find out a little bit more, where can you point people, both in terms of the scientific literature, but also anywhere for non-scientists? Because, well, I mean, I've tried to read some scientific papers, and you know, frankly, I find them quite hard going. And I think most people would, unless it's in their world. So both, where can people go for more info with scientific papers, but also information for non-scientists as well? Any advice there?
With all scientific papers, there should be a plain English summary, a lay summary. somewhere in that mix of papers, which should give you an idea of the basics.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
You mean more than just the abstract at the start?
It's not. Yes, there should be a plain English summary abstract in there somewhere. Or okay. if there is on any panel I sit on for funding, I make sure it's there. Otherwise, it doesn't get past me.
Okay.
So I have a couple of suggestions. So there is a phenomenal book by Philip Detmer called Immune. I have it for my children. They love it. It's a really cool book. It's simple, I would say.
Is it bedtime reading in your house, Sergio?
Huh?
Is it bedtime reading in your house?
It's mandatory, so every new baby has to read it. It takes them a while, though. No, so that's it was a recommendation from, and it was actually a recommendation from a friend that is non-scientist. He said, have you read this book? I was like, no. My daughter reads it and she loves it, he said. And then I brought it to the kids and they loved it as well. So that's a really good one. And you know, YouTube has so many people doing an amazing job trying to simplify the immune system in terms of teaching it. Absolutely worth keywords, cancer immunology, immune system on YouTube, and you will find amazing videos. I don't follow any specific person, but they're very good. I can be selfish and point out to our own website, the website from the laboratory. If you put immune regulation, UCL Cancer Institute or Quesada Lab Cancer Institute, you'll see pictures of my lab, including Maria, but you will see a few videos at the bottom that are from YouTube, videos that we have made in different collaborations that explain some of our discoveries. That might be more tricky, but there is a very good one that was a link to a phenomenal video done by the team at Nature Journals. And it explains how these immune checkpoints work. And it's literally, my kids loved it. It's literally for kids. And it's very, very clear, very short, and it tells a little bit of the story of immunotherapy.
Okay, that sounds like excellent advice. Exactly the sort of thing I was looking for, Sergio. So thank you. So look, to all of you, to Dave, Sergio and Maria, thank you very much indeed. I think that was fabulously interesting, and I think will help a lot of people. Cool. So many thanks, and good luck with the research in the future.
Thank you,
Mike. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Thank you so much to my guests on this week's show, and they were cancer scientist Professor Sergio Quesada and Dr. Maria Villa and cancer patient Dave Chutter. And of course, thank you to you for listening.
That was the Relaxed UK show with me, Mike Dill. Thank you for listening, and please do join us again next time.